Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, and I have a show for you, depending on who you are. So let's talk about who I'm talking to. I'm talking about today, the relationship, you're going to love this, between the black sheep in the family and nutrition. The black sheep in the family. How many of you can relate to a childhood where you felt like you were on the outside of the family? You were the different one. Maybe you were the one that dreamed bigger. Maybe you were the one that constantly listened to, don't think you're so big. Don't think you're better than anybody else. Don't think that your dreams, when you dream that big, should ever turn into reality. That's the black sheep in the family. Terrible word for that person. You know, psychology addresses this type of a child. Some of you have that type of a child. Some of you were that type of a child. And some of you today are adults who are acting like children because you couldn't really understand how to get out of that painful childhood. So you're trapped. You're trapped in two worlds. The world that you perform in, that you earn your income in, that you bring your food and your money home to and put on the kitchen table to dispense into the world you've created. And yet underneath it all, deep down inside, there's this other you, an inner you, a you that wants something better, something closer to who you in your maturation think you really are, but you're not having it. Well, this show is about you. Often your IQ, so I'm going to really get specific today, your IQ, your intelligence quotient, is between 120 and 150. So you're not stupid. You've never thought of yourself as stupid. In fact, you've kind of noticed that just about everything that comes your way, you can master. You're actually good in school. You actually learn kind of quickly. But no matter what happens, sooner or later along the way, you get bored, or you get intolerant, or you feel like the knowledge you take into yourself that you want to exalt or create with or celebrate always finds some sort of a competitor. You're a victim of jealousy. A teacher thinks you're too big for your britches and they have to cut you down. You're the guy that asks the question in a classroom, why? And everybody says, just because. And that drives you nuts. This show is about you. And I'm going to draw a link between all of my shows and holistic medicine and you. And that's big. Because this is where my last 55 shows have been leading. I had a plan. And I unveil this plan today. You see, really, holistic medicine is a metaphor. It's a methodology for the super gifted. Only I'm going to use this term super gifted in different contexts than we often use the word super gifted. You see, in everyday life, we think that super gifted means if you're 4 years old and you've already mastered advanced calculus, or you speak six languages and your IQ is 250, you're super gifted. That's the easy life. And often, the truth, those people don't change the world. They don't create that impact that affects other people's consciousnesses. The super gifted person I'm talking about doesn't have a 200 IQ. They don't have a 170 IQ. They're somewhere in that 125-150 range. But it's more than that. They know how, from the day they're born, from the day they're coming down the vaginal canal, they're already understanding how to think outside the box. This is my target audience today. And everybody's got a little bit of that in them, but some of you, and I'm talking to you, some of you have been imperiled by your gifts. Your gifts have worked not to their potential. In fact, some of you, your gifts have worked against you. You have turned to drugs. You have turned to different forms of ill virtue. Because you found from the time you're little that the straight and narrow doesn't pay. That you can't proceed in a normal, healthy, unadulterated, unattacked way. That no matter who you are in your situation, you're the person that asks the questions that nobody wants to ask, that thinks outside the box, that comes up with solutions that are not the mainstream of the culture. This is the creative thrust of the culture. When Steve Jobs of Apple came onto the scene, he looked at things differently. And if you know anything about the man's life, he suffered as a result. He was thrown out of his own company as he brought people in the marketing arena to help further the incentive, the motive, the vision of Apple. He found himself within 2 to 3 years thrown out by his own board. Hundreds of examples of this. Hundreds of examples of people who have ideas that surround themselves with what they think is a team only to find them betrayed by their team. These are the black sheeps. Now, in psychology, at the turn of the century, Freud, so we're going to start to draw some correlations here, important correlations for you to get, because I'm going to tie this show together today brilliantly, but I have to bring it from multiple angles. So here's angle two, psychology. At the turn of the century, J. Halloran Haller, the physician and sexuality in Victorian America. Victorian America, probably one of the dumbest, darkest, torturous, idiotic ages in the last 1,000 years. Put Victorian America up there with the Dark Ages. 500 AD, Charlemagne. Idiocy. Here's the book. Can't argue with the book. It's American History. J. Haller, H-A-L-L-E-R, and Haller, H-A-L-L, husband and wife team. J. Haller and Haller, the physician and sexuality in Victorian America. Mentioned this book once before. Routine clitorectomies for women with symptoms of hysteria. Routine clitorectomy for women in America. Coming to doctors and pouring their hearts and souls out in a hysterical manner, only to be told that the cause of their problems lie in their clitoris, whereupon surgery was advised for nothing more than bad headaches. And the concept, the underlying stupidity, something beyond the Neanderthal man would not have done this to his clan. Cutting out a clitoris as the source of the migraine. Because, of course, that migraine was the result of repressed sexual feelings. So rather than liberate that, rather than appropriate the repressed sexual feeling, if in fact that was the case, which it really wasn't anyway, but once identified as a sexual frustration, cut out the clitoris because that's the end of the problem. And that is what they did. That is American history. 120, 130, 140 years ago. So we didn't come from a great track record here in the European-American model. We didn't come from a great track record as far as it related to getting in touch with your repressed emotions, your angers, your fears, your guilts, your shames, your sadnesses. Perhaps we just didn't have that indulgence back then. Perhaps. Whatever it was, the relationship between emotion and daily experience really wasn't very well understood, or we wouldn't have been doing that. The turn of the century, a man named Sigmund Freud. You all know his name. Developed a different model. The model said that the choices you made in your life, which often were stupid and lacked wisdom, that those choices related to the tensions that developed when you were a little boy or a little girl. And this Freudian model opened up talk therapy. It swept through Europe. Freud was credentialed. He was brilliant. He was a neurologist. A neurologist. It's very interesting. And Freudian psychology, the growth model, swept through Europe. It came to America, was not well received, but it had so much power. And it spoke so much truth that it spread so that by the 1920s, in the cities in America, in the cities all over Europe, if you were in the know, if you had the inside track, if you were the holistic people of today, you would go to see a shrink. And you'd lie on the couch and you talk about your problems. And this is nothing new. And all of you have done this on some level somewhere along the line. But you have to understand where it started. It started with someone that took America inadvertently out of its dark ages. And Freud was joined then by a whole host of other psychologists. And that's part of what this show is about today. You see, because what happened with Freudian psychology and what you've experienced out there, you, the black sheep, at one time or another, under the dome of these labels, from ADD to bipolar disorder to schizophrenia to manic depressive disorder to just your good old plain down-to-earth neurosis, an anxiety type. No, there's not a lot of those people around, right? We don't have an entire nation of people living on antidepressants today. That's my imagination. So this is about many of you who have been taught by what started as a growth model in psychology and what has been reduced to simply shut up and take a pill. Get the book, Aldous Huxley, Brave New World. Aldous Huxley, do we still give that to our kids in high school? I hope so. I read it in the sixth grade. It talked about a world someday where you were going to get up in the morning and take a pill and all your problems would go away. Well, we've produced it already. We have certainly produced it already. And too many of us have drank the Kool-Aid, in my infamous expression. And what I'm asking you to consider is that when this growth model in psychology began at the turn of the century, it wasn't about taking a drug. It was about going into an inner journey to understand where your anxieties came from. That was Freud's idea. And his concept was talk it out. And talk it out. And talk it out. And talk it out. Something better came along that's more about this show today. Something better than Freudian psychology came along. And that was in the form of a man named Wilhelm Reich. R-E-I-C-H. Wilhelm Reich. He was another brainchild. He was a protege of Freud. He was a child prodigy. He went to the medical school in Vienna on scholarship. And Reich had an even better idea, something more akin to the drives on this show that you listen to today. By the way, if you're cruising in your car and you just tuned in, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to my website, straighttalk.cc. Stream the show, get into the archives. And this man, Wilhelm Reich, he said, not only are we going to talk to people, but we're going to take our hands and touch them. Because Reich felt, and this is for you to digest, Reich felt that when you're 50 years old and you say, oh yes, I've dealt with it, I've dealt with my parents' divorce, and I've dealt with the fact that my brother was jealous, and I've dealt with the fact that this and that and the other thing have happened. Reich said, no, you haven't dealt with it, because even though you may have altered its effect in your mind, it still lives in your body. And until you prove it's not in your body anymore, it's in your body. My friends, this is so relevant to you, because I treat you and see you all week long. And there is so much blocked emotion at the root of your disease that you cannot afford not to understand what I am talking about. And many of you, unfortunately, do not. I hear too many innocent, even sometimes ignorant, people turn around and say, but I've dealt with that. But that happened 40 years ago. And you're understanding it in terms of the past and the model today that says if you got through it and if you've resolved it in your head, it's done. This is my point to you. It has induced an amount of tension. It has induced a level of anxiety in your tissue that stunts, that depresses the magnetic field around your cell. So that your physiology is not optimal because your nervous system is depressed. Because the magnetic field that emanates from your brain and your spine that is supposed to magnetize the cell into a higher chemistry does not occur optimally. And it leaves you feeling like deep down inside your dreams are not coming true. I'm glad I record these shows for you, because you need to hear that again and again and again and again. And if you're nodding your head that you understand, well, that's good. Understand it more deeply is my suggestion to you if you think you understand it. You have to live it in your body. You have to bring your being into an understanding of how to purge the effect of negative emotion in your cell. And that is a physical phenomenon. And Reich understood that. So Reich blew the lid off Freudian psychology by saying, not only am I going to sit you down and teach you about your mommy-daddy problems, but I'm going to touch your body then. And he did. Back then, we didn't have laws in psychology that said the doctor can't touch the patient. Back then, we were less patrolled. The bean counters and the bureaucrats hadn't yet taken hold of an aspect of allopathy because it was too new. Freud had only been around 20 years. It was 1920. People didn't understand really what was happening yet, so there were no regulations. So back then, a psychiatrist could touch a patient. And on came Reich. And things happened. They truly happened. They happened in ways that talk therapy can never initiate. Reich saw people blow out their emotions on the couch, on the table. Reich saw, recorded, and wrote about how people in talk therapy, once they were touched physically, would emit emotion on levels that couldn't match talk therapy. He saw them convulse. He saw them scream from their gut. He saw them swear that some electrical field was pulsing through their body that hadn't been there before. Reich saw things that nobody ever saw, at least in Western medicine, and at least in the current vernacular of the time. This was totally new, thus the birth of Reichian emotional therapy. We don't have an inkling of that today. We barely have a semblance of that anymore. Talk therapy, if you even get talk therapy, is a watered-down, diffused, ambiguous, cut-up version of the progenitors of a great insight into what, as it relates to this show, causes your tumors, your cancers, your heart disease, all these idiopathic, undiagnosed problems that are just in between the cracks of your standard diagnostic therapies. And we have numbers increasing today by the scores. And at the root of it, if you analyze it, if you work with it, if you get in the trenches with these people, you're going to see that at the root are these trapped emotions in the body. And yes, most of you who fit this mold have kicked back on a couch one time or another and spoken to a shrink. You've done the therapeutics, the counseling, the talk therapy. And perhaps it's helped you somewhat. I assure you, if you were dealing with chronic illness, I assure you, underneath all the therapy you've done, wherever it's come from, under whatever name it has existed for you, I assure you, it is still in your body. Look that name up, Reich, Wilhelm Reich, and understand that early on, just after Freudian psychology birth, came someone that said, you have to go deeper into the body, and you have to see if the body reacts. You have to watch the body purge emotion. But that's just the backdrop, guys. That's not what the show is about today. The show is about something much larger. Because back then, even in the beginning, there was an Italian psychiatrist. His name was Robert Assagioli. An Italian psychiatrist, circa 1920, named Robert Assagioli. A-S-S-A-G-I-O-L-A. Something like that. All right. I'll tell you exactly how to spell his name here. A-S-S-A-G-I-O-L-A. Hang on. Here we go. A-S-S-A-G-I-O-L-A, Robert Assagioli. Robert Assagioli was a psychiatrist, circa Freud, and he developed a model of psychology called psychosynthesis. Laura Huxley, Aldous Huxley's daughter, studied psychosynthesis, wrote a book about her experiences with Assagioli. And Assagioli's point was that when you did Freudian psychology, you had to be careful. And this relates to many of us today. Today you go to a psychologist and the psychologist listens to your issues. And the psychologist and the whole model, and this is what you have to get, the whole model is set up like this. You have to be labeled for the psychologist to get paid. Now, I want you to catch that. You have to be labeled for the psychologist to get paid. Wow. So you can't just come in there and be John Smith. You can't develop relationship with your shrink as John Smith. You have to begin to develop relationship, and then just as you develop relationship, just as you expose things within yourself that you're afraid to expose, you have to be labeled for the psychologist to get paid by the system. And Assagioli was pointing out that the labeling, the very labeling of the patient, limits their creative drive. So Assagioli pioneered psychoanalysis, but became aware of its limitations. Because he said that psychology, in the way that you have received it out there in the public in the last 60 years, focuses on the basement of human nature. Those words were used, the basement of human nature. Our conflicting drives, our sexual repressions, our primitive urges. And that the model then tended to reduce authentic spiritual and religious visions to neurotic infantile impulses. If you're the black sheep of the family, if you're the one that thinks outside the box, if you've always been an outsider, and yet deep down inside, you know you've got it figured out. You're gifted. You're gifted, but you view your culture from the outside. And you've hit shrinkdom. You've seen psychologists along the way, and you're on antidepressants of sorts. Understand that there was a perception as far back as 1920 that said psychoanalysis is problematic because it focuses on the basement of human nature and our conflicting drives, our primitive urges, and so on and so forth, that it labels you on behalf of, reduces your authentic spiritual and religious visions to neurotic impulses. That's like telling young Mozart that when you have a temper tantrum, you should just be like everybody else and not get angry because you feel conflicted or you feel suffocated in your environment. Don't ask for more. Settle for what you've got. And you've heard that. All of us have heard that. All of us have heard that. Along the way, we've all been told to settle, to fit in, to just do what everybody else does, even though deep down inside, you have a burning, ardent desire to do it differently. So these concepts began a long time ago. And what they've resulted in today is an absolute atrocity. We don't even have talk therapy today. And if we do, we've integrated it with Prozac just so we can settle on the model. And even if we don't, and even if we have bona fide talk therapy, we're certainly not understanding that part of the way you reconfigure your behavioral patterns demands, it is defined by purging emotion from the body. And I'll assure you, maybe one in 10,000 even understands what I'm talking about in their experience. And yet, these models swept through the world at one time. They need to be resurrected. They need to be studied again. And they were able to survive when we had a less regulated, a less streamlined, when we had a culture that was freer in its expression. And this is what we risk today. We talk about freedom, and yet if you look at the way therapies across the board are being administered, allocated, we don't see quite as much creative thought as we pretend actually exists. And psychology and how you learn to translate your dreams into reality, how you learn to lift off the burden of the things within yourself that have rained on your parade and leave you at the mercy of a depressed magnetic field, that which lets your cell get sick, abounds. So here comes the Sagioli, and he challenges even the Freudian model. And he says then that the purpose, the real angle on health, the real angle on overcoming illness, the real angle on raising people in a healthy way is to teach them that their visions are an intonation, they are an initiation into the possibility of turning the vision into a physical reality. Which is to say that when you dream, that's not a fantasy. It's to say that when you dream, and whether you dream at night or you dream in the day, daydreaming. Remember the word daydreaming? Remember when you were sitting there in school daydreaming while the teacher was busy boring you with some stupid lesson? Remember how occasionally you would catch a smack in the back of the head? If you went to Catholic school and you're over 40 years old, you know what I'm talking about. Remember how you catch a little smack in the back of the head, or the teacher throw a book at you? Or something to let you know that you shouldn't be daydreaming. Right from the beginning, this word daydreaming, it's had a sarcastic, sort of a condescending tone to it that suggested that you're never supposed to do that. Well, Sagioli was suggesting that you were very much supposed to do that. But you see, if the entire culture condescends towards the experience, it doesn't ever get to the second part of that experience. And the second part of that experience is, how do you turn the daydream into reality? Well, you don't by condescending the fact that you're having the daydream in the first place. You don't by overlooking the fact that you dream at all. We don't look at the dream. We should be enamored of the dream. We should understand our dreams are messages to what we really want. And when we're daydreaming, they're conscious messages of what we really want. But how can you ever get to the other part of it, which is how you translate it into daily experience? What do you do to turn your vision into reality? We can't even grapple with that because we're too busy thinking that we're just wasting our time daydreaming. The death of the dream of the person that dreams in the day is the death of the culture. And those visions that we have, when we're frustrated in our attempt to turn those visions into reality, because we don't know how to deal with people who rain on our parade, the boss that says the idea is stupid, the boss that does not listen, the partner that does not listen, your coworker that does not listen, all reflect the parent and the mother that did not listen, or the brother or sister that did not listen. You were not listened to. And if you weren't listened to, it sent you a message subliminally. Oh my God. What is that? You were sent a subliminal message that what you said and thought and desired didn't count. And so you stopped doing it. Now the link here, the link between your dream, your newfound right to start taking your dream seriously and transporting them into reality, is the whole essence of holistic medicine. You're focusing on your neck pain. You're focusing on the fact that you're not digesting protein. You're focusing on the fact that you spent 3 hours today on the toilet trying to defecate. You're focusing on the fact that you've got two joints up for replacement. You're focusing on the fact that your heart has a valve dysfunction. You're focusing on the growth of cancer. You're focusing on all sorts of things that threaten your life. You're in the process. Get the context straight. Get it straight now. Because you won't make it if you don't. Get straight the fact that underneath your symptom is that repressed creative vision. And if you were born with much of it, if God wanted you to come here and do service with it and express it and turn it into the reality of your existence, if you have been called to do this and you're sick with illness, you have to look at that illness in the context of this show. And there are a lot of you out there like that, a lot of you. And I know a lot of you understand what I'm saying to you today. Now here's the clue. Why do you pay good money for herbs? Why do you spend more money on good food? Why do you take care of yourself nutritionally? Simple. And I'll cut right to the chase, because if your blood is dirty, if your blood is dirty, or your blood is deficient. If your blood is dirty, or your blood is deficient. If your blood is dirty, or your blood is deficient. You're not going to ever connect to your body. And if you can't connect your dreams to the physical experience of your dreams, in other words, the relationship between your vision and how it makes your body feel. If you can't get that connection straight, you cannot manifest the dream into reality. Why did Christ fast in the desert? I ask you. I ask you your version of why Christ fasted in the desert. And I want you to consider a perception of that, because he was preparing himself for the resurrection. It was a purification process into which the man in him, the side of him that was man, Christ was God and Christ was man. And he allowed the manness in him to express as a message and a teaching to us. And that purging in the desert was the cleaning of the blood and the nutrification of the body. Just as important today as it was then, if not more so, considering our wonderful ecosystem. And in that purging, Christ prepared himself for the resurrection as a message to us all, as an inspiration to us all. I want you to consider that he came here to teach us to turn our dreams into reality, because that is what he wanted us to understand. And that's what God wants us to understand, that if you dream it, you can do it. Now, I have worked. I have paid dues, more dues than most, with more sick people than most of the doctors I know. And I can tell you that when I have held them in my arms, it has been about a life of depressed dreams, suppressed emotions. They've drank the Kool-Aid too many times, and now they're trapped and they can't get out. Don't be that way. If you have still the energy, the will, the ambition, enough breath of life in you, do not give up. And understand, as a Christian, that you've been given a model to translate the dream, your yearnings, your religious and spiritual yearnings into reality. You're supposed to come here to get what you want. But it takes knowledge. Faith and knowledge are in reciprocity with each other. Faith and knowledge have a great deal to do with each other. You cannot have faith without knowledge, and knowledge without faith. They do a dance. You can't separate, functionally speaking, one from the other. In a way, as humans communicate, we talk about faith, we talk about reason, we talk about knowledge. But as you evolve a healing, as you grow a vision, as you find how to use your talents to do service in a way where everyone benefits, including you, when you do that, you have to bounce faith and knowledge off each other. Faith builds knowledge. Knowledge builds faith. The knowledge that I'm asking you to consider today is that you've got to clean the blood. And you've got to fertilize the blood. And that is why you spend your money on nutrition, on better food, on cleaner food. That is why you spend your money on radio shows. It's why you spend your money on knowledge, acquisition of it in seminars, in schools, in classrooms. So that you can fertilize your entire being and cleanse your entire being so that you can shine. So that you can begin to glow. Glow? I don't mean glow as an empty word. I mean glow literally. Literally. I am a literalist. I believe literally in the Old and New Testament. And as a literalist, I ask you, what was that halo around the head? What's the halo? Why do we depict our saints with a halo around the head? Why did we depict Christ with a halo around the head? What do you think that halo represented? Or was it really there? Well, I'm going to leave that to the theologians. But I'm going to suggest to you that the body is a magnetic field. And as you clean the blood, and as you nutrify the blood, as you clean it and fertilize it, the magnetic field intensifies and it gives off a vibration. And that vibration is what transforms the ether of your vision into the reality of your life. It jades, it coerces, it influences your choices. Whether you zig or zag, whether you go up or down, left or right, is guided by what grows that magnetic field, the growth of the magnetic field off the brain and the spinal cord, enhanced by the cleansing of the blood and the fertilization of the body, alters significantly the wisdom and discretion that you bring to life's choices every single day. Can you get that one? You want out of this mess you find yourself in? There is a model for you that if you clean your blood and you fertilize your blood, that the field, the resonance, the magnetism off your brain and spinal cord will create a force field that will allow you to discern more precisely, that will allow you to choose with more wisdom, that will allow you to relax behind the anxieties of your day as the devils torture you, attack you, rain on your parade, as you continually repeat those anxieties that you held dearly as a child. Now, there's a model for you. That is the holistic model of medicine. That model you need to understand deeply in your consciousness, in your spirit, and in your physical reality. You have to turn words into feelings in the body. If you don't, then just watch a rerun of What the Bleep Do We Know, or any one of these wonderful little cameos we do now in the holistic community. Rich in lore and rhetoric, but we're not getting it in the body. We're not talking about what it feels to open an energy line, that there's a physical feeling in the body, that what you're doing with nutrition, what you're doing with your flexibility training, what you're doing as you purge your emotions, is opening an electrical field. And that field is to teach you through methodology, through experience, through a physical manifestation of how to make the choices of day-to-day life done more easily with greater discretion, greater wisdom, and therefore greater bounty, greater prosperity for you. Less output of energy and more return. Because that's, guys, what it comes down to. When you're on your deathbed someday, passing into the other realm, going to the finer place, one thing you want to hold dear to yourself, that you had mastered this time here and learned what you were supposed to learn. And one indice of that, one way to measure that, is that you got maximum return on minimum investment of your energy. Because if it's the other way around, you just feel ripped off. You gave. You got smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And that is the way too many people pass. And I don't think that's what it's supposed to be. Too many people come in for help, only to find out that really they were supposed to get bigger. I brought a woman on the radio show last week. You heard Marianne's story. That was a very real story. That story lives today. It goes on today. It's about someone that suffered a long time, that will not suffer anymore, that will go on and get bigger, not smaller. Could Christ, could God the Father want any other future for you? So I think we all agree here that we're given a green light to learn to express. But boy, have we come a long way from clitorectomies in 1860. How about in 1895, when basketball was invented, and women were told if they exercised, their organs would drop out their bottoms. Yes. That's what they told them at Radcliffe in 1895. Don't move your bodies, lady, because surely your entire body will drop out your bottom. And we gave the Nobel Prize to Medicine in 1949 to Igo Muniz of Portugal for the eye socket lobotomy. A lobotomy for people we couldn't understand. We still do hysterectomies for no reasons whatsoever, other than that women are bleeding out during menopause. What the heck, ladies? You don't need your uteruses, and you don't need your ovaries. Of course, your ovaries are your testicles. It's like men don't need their testicles after 50 or 60, so women don't need their ovaries. So let's just take them, too, as a preventative measure. There are so many ways today to drink the Kool-Aid. I think there's more ways today than there were 100 years ago. Point is, a certain level, on a certain level, there are as many devils today as there were then. And what holistic medicine is trying to bring to you, what cleansing and stretching and purging emotion are trying to bring to you, is an end game here. There is a dessert for you. So you can't think of resolving that chronic symptomology. You can't think of resolving that chronic symptomology as merely getting rid of the symptom. If you're failing at that, if you haven't gotten the quick fix, it's because within yourself you're being asked to see a bigger picture. I have provided that for you today. If you're just tuning in, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to my website, straighttalk.cc, and get the inside track on holistic medicine. And for those of you who have listened before, tell your friends. I want word of mouth. I want people talking to people. Stop reducing the spread of authentic, insightful work. Stop reducing it to the nonsense of what we call electronic marketing. Don't do that. Use your mouth. Human beings are the currency, not machines, not computers, not agents, not marketing techniques. If you have a business today, understand the growth of your business, and I hope you do, is person to person. And if you have a cutting edge business, if you have a cutting edge perspective, let us all acknowledge the fact that we need our listeners. Because who else is going to give other people the inside track? You truly want to understand how to get out of your hole, the hole that you're in? Spread the word. Because as you spread the word, you'll be rewarded. Truly. But learn discernment. That's why you don't spread the word. Because you don't understand how to exist in discernment. There's a connectivity. The black sheep of the family. The super gifted. The people that see between the lines are out there. And they know each other. Look, this is not nonsense. I'm talking to you right now about something very, very real. Do you know what I sit behind a desk and listen to all the time? You know, Dr. Medici, my friends think this is crazy. Taking herbs? I don't even want to tell them. Buying organic food? My husband thinks that this is a lot of just hypocrisy and nonsense. Unbelievable. I saw a woman the other day. She's been sick for 7 years. She hasn't worked in 7 years. She lamented to me after 7 years and 50 different medical doctors. She says to me, she speaks to her father. And her father tells her, sweetheart, why don't you just go to the medical doctor? And she turns to him and says, I've been to 50 I'm not getting an answer. And he says, well, you just haven't found the right one. You have to have faith. You have to keep trying. Wow. I listen to this all week long. So when I say to you, spread the word and use discernment, because without discernment, you're afraid to talk. You are afraid to talk because you don't want to feel like an outsider. You don't want to feel like someone's going to finger you or label you as a weirdo. So you turn it into something secret. And all those people out there that need to hear, they don't ever get to hear. You have to consider that. You have to consider that when you say, thank you, Medici, for doing this show. I get comments all the time, and they all say thank you. A way for you to say thank you is to pick and discern people that you can share communion with, who understand what you understand and what I understand. And that is how you grow. That's how you grow within yourself. I started a school for this. The Medici Institute for Advanced Nutritional Education. Those of you who cannot afford one-on-one therapies, I thought we could put you all in a group. I'll meet with that group tomorrow for the sixth time since November. I think we're doing a fantastic job of learning the foundations behind what it takes to make your dreams come true. I didn't say to cure disease. Because if that's all you've signed on for, you've missed the boat. Tough to say. Tough to hear somebody say that you're sitting there with that aching, throbbing pain, that arthritidity, that organ failure, that horrid dysfunction, and that really where you want to put your head, what you want to wrap yourself around, is the translation of your dream, the one you forgot about, into reality. That's too far for you. It's not. It isn't. It isn't. Because if you think about it this way, you'll understand why you suffer. You're suffering in your bed, on your couch, in your car, in your chair, at your office place. You're suffering because you're given a chance to wake up to the fact that you were brought here to manifest your dream. And your body's just giving you a message. That symptom means you're not approaching life in the way you need to approach it. It's a wake-up call. It's a plea bargain. It's a beckoning from the inside of you to the outside of you through your pain receptor. You got to look at it that way from the beginning. If you don't, then health, or your problem, or your illness, or your chronic symptom, or what's kept you home from work, is simply just a detour. It is an unfortunate, unnecessary detour, and you have been betrayed. Because why should you go down now and have this detour? You see, you'll look at it that way when it's not that way at all. This is an opportunity to galvanize yourself, to strengthen and intensify the magnetic field off your spine through your cells and outside the skin of your body so that you can discern more wisely and with more wisdom. That's a mouthful. Wow. If you're sick, I respect the fact that that's a lot to understand. Tough. Because it's your only way out. That woman, Marianne, that I brought on the show last week for you, was there because she understood that. And she showed it. She showed it by resolving symptomology. That was a woman that spent 30 years running around thinking she could not eat protein. If you do not eat protein, especially if you're an O blood, animal protein, you will be 6 feet tall and 120 pounds. You will look malnourished. You will suffer from starvation, and you will manifest dozens of illnesses and symptoms. And she did. and after 25 or whatever medical doctors, six or seven holistic practitioners, comes to me and says simply, I can't eat protein. I'm not really hip about eating fish and chicken and beef. Well, I saw her personally with my eyes eat about a pound of animal flesh every night for four straight nights because it was raw or rare, clean, wild, infection-free, healthy like the sun, high quality fish and red meat and bison, and I watched her consume it with ease and elegance and joy. That's the ticket. But you have to come ready to receive that. You have to come in with a perception that the 20 or 30 years you've suffered, you don't want to suffer anymore. And that it's time to look at things from a different angle. If you can do that, you can heal. Because you're starting to listen to your soul. You're not intercepting the messages from your soul with your brain. You're not letting your head get in the way of your healing. Are you ready? Are you ready not to let your head get in the way of your internal wisdom? That is what you have to bring to a healing. If, in fact, you are the black sheep, if you think outside the box, if you're frustrated, if you're trapped in illness, listen to this show again and again and again and again until you take it so deeply into the marrow of your bone that you do something about it. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. We'll see you guys next week. We just keep getting better and better.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. And the best part? You can call in live with your health questions every week. For those of you still holding for Dr. Medici, stay on hold. He'll continue to answer calls for as long as it takes. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. And remember, to contact his office for an appointment, call Rachel or Johanna at 310-320-1132. That's 310-320-1132. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.